We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Now it's time for sports audio on sports radio.
I see what you did there.
Now we've got several pieces of audio here. The first one, Buckley, do you have the clip of the fart?
Yes, let me get it.
From the open. So you remember when we played this the other day, somebody farted?
Yeah.
And the broadcast of the Open Championship, they loved it?
Yeah, and that was the idea that some people thought it was Rory, but it was a spectator.
Well, it was a Scottie Scheffler shot.
Oh, that's what
it wasn't
it was.
Rory. But yeah, the thought was it was a spectator.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what that sounded like on the broadcast.
So far above the green, downwind you can get onto this green, but Scheffler... There's so much to say about that shot.
It's sounding
off the club face. That's extraordinary. Let's stick to the golf.
Let's stick to the golf.
Good times.
Yeah, so somebody farted there. You guys heard that in there?
Yeah.
I give you Scottie Scheffler talking to...
Pardon My Take, a Barstool podcast.
Pardon My Take.
I have a very important question for you. At the Open, I'm trying to remember what hole it was. I think it was the 17th. Did you fart?
Ooh.
Yeah, that was me.
Was it?
Actually?
Oh, yeah, that was me.
How about Scheffler owning the fart?
Wow.
It was him.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If you didn't like Scottie Scheffler before.
I do now.
You should now.
Boy, because he has no reason to claim that. I mean, he's like, what are you talking about?
He didn't care. Yeah,
who asked that question?
That was the Pardon My Take podcast. That was PFT commenter.
Yes. Great. It's a bold move, although that probably makes sense. Again, that's a Barstool sort of thing. You wouldn't necessarily think that that's the question you go down, but yeah.
If we had Scheffler on this week,
would
you have asked him that?
No.
I wouldn't have either.
I mean.
Because we're so professional.
Well, you've got Scottie Scheffler on. Believe me, no one's as big of a jackass as we are, but you got the best golfer in the world, and you're like, hey, did you fart on 17?
I could see Rob bringing it up. Yeah. Like even a, did you hear the fart? You know, because then it opens the door for him to say, yeah, and it was me, or he doesn't have to, but.
You're not wrong. Look, you're not wrong. Okay, it would have crossed my mind. I doubt I would have done it.
Yeah.
I would have chickened out. But
well, it's a bold move. But
it is.
Again, that guy, I mean, this is where they live. I mean, this is his bread and butter. It's probably his Super Bowl getting to ask Scottie Scheffler if he did indeed fart. And kudos for Scottie Scheffler to be like, oh, yeah, that's me.
Now, if we have Dan Lanning on every week.
Yeah.
We have a decent rapport with Dan.
I wouldn't ask Dan Lanning if he
farts. If there is a video of the sideline mic'd up and you hear a little toot.
You catch him lift
not
a leg.
The bottom
whoops,
of the well,
my bad.
Panic.
Misfire. Yeah. You hear a toot.
Yeah.
You asking him about it?
It's going to be, again, this is going to be what game are we going into? What game are we, it's a situational sort of thing.
If you find the right spot.
Yeah, like getting ready to play Ohio State? No.
No.
Getting ready to play Penn State on the road at the Whiteout? No. Having blown out Montana State and getting ready for Tallahassee JUCO? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Can I also say, too?
We all do it, though. I mean, come on.
In the fart, what? Fart on the golf course?
That's what saying Farty Scheffler is my new fave. Farting on the golf course. I mean, that's good time. You're telling me you've never had your buddy lining up for a putt and you just, you hold one, you're like, watch this.
I do it all the time.
That's good times.
Well, you're outside.
Exactly.
I mean, what do you want?
You're out in the fresh air,
right.
You know?
I want to point one other thing out before we get to more sports audio. Mm-hmm. Just from this clip, it just reminded me how much I love the microphone picking up the pured golf shot.
Yeah.
I love that sound.
It's one of the top three sports sounds there is.
So far above the green, downwind you can get onto this green, but Scheffler.
That.
Yeah.
Mm. God, I love that.
I'm going off the top of my head, the crack of the bat. Oh.
And I know this is going to be weird, but I love...
Football helmets?
No. I'm going... Because I'm a hockey guy. I love the clang of the...
The post?
The post.
Ooh.
Because in hockey, sometimes it's hard to... The puck is kind of hard to follow. So someone winds up, and that instant clang... Because the puck's flying, and everyone's like, did it go in? And then when you hear that clang... Oh, I love that sound, the ringing of that. And then collectively, everyone, the groan of it. Or the cheer of it if you're the team, the home team, and it's your post and it doesn't go in. I love that sound.
I like to try to, I don't know, when you're out there playing golf on your own, mm-hmm. sometimes you'll hit a shot that sounds like
once
that.
Once in a blue moon.
And it feels so freaking good.
Yeah. You compress it, and it comes off of the club a little differently. And
it's got that tuning fork sound and feel.
Yeah, well, I tend to hit it like a lower ball. And so every now and then you hit one of those, and you get that really good elevation loft on it. That's a special moment. You have a little...
what do you have?
Ooh, somebody on here says bowling pin smashing together. Yeah, that is one. Really good because in the lanes you have like an echo.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. And then like again, there's a kind of the build of the crowd. They can hear the ball like and then the crack is always a good one.
But when you're watching golf, it seems like every shot those guys hit is sounds exactly like they flush everything.
Yeah. Silly. Well, one of my all time favorites is we had Annika Sorenstam?
Sorenstam.
Yeah, Stam. We had her on from one of the LPG events, and I asked her, I said, when was the last time you duffed a shot? And she was like, duffed? And I'm like, duff, where it's just, it is a total mishit. You shank one off the hosel, nothing. And she just kind of looked and goes, yeah, I don't do that. And I just kind of smiled and was like, that's about right. Or when you hear a pro, like, how far do you hit that? And they're like, about 132, 133. And you're like,
thought you were going to give me a 15-yard range there.
right there. 130, 132, 133. Yeah. And that's the variance where they're like, I like to get a little closer to the 132, but I'm like, geez.
Somebody else said metal baseball spikes in the dugout.
Ooh.
I don't know that one.
That's interesting.
It's
kind of nostalgic.
Yeah, I could see that. I will say that
spikes on the cart path.
It's not as good, I think, over the TV, but in person, the hard throwing pitcher, the ball in the glove,
the pop of the mitt,
pop of the mitt is a really good one. I'm trying to think of what else is like really. So you mentioned the football. It's kind of the muddle.
But if you get a really good open field hit, you also get that groan that you get from like the puck off a post or whatever. And like you can hear the sounds of the collision, then everyone go,
Well, I like the crackle of the helmet pads. Yeah. The NFL, we talked about this years ago, but the NFL was hesitant to go to a new helmet.
Because they didn't want the sound to go away.
They were hesitant to go to a new helmet that was better for the brain injuries.
Yeah.
Because they think that the crack of the helmet is something that people like, and they didn't want to take it away. They didn't want to take it away.
Yeah. And
to the detriment of the brains of all their players.
Yeah, because that crack is a big deal. The other one I really like is the nothing but net. And it's kind of the same thing as the golf flush shot. The sound of the net, the ball going through the net with touching nothing, has a little bit of that, the golf kind of pure to it.
Well, the league realized it was so great that they started putting microphones inside the rims, which they didn't always.
Yeah. Also, the little squeaky of the shoes, I kind of like too.
Yeah, Nike did a whole ad with that, just those sounds to make a beat. Remember that?
Yeah, they were I do remember that they were doing 90s. That and the bouncing of the ball. They did like a like
squeaks
an R&B
and bounces,
thing
to
it.
All right. Well, there's sports sounds talk for you guys here on a Friday.
And I just kind of want to hear a bunch of golf shots.
I have more audio for you. Don't mess with Max Scherzer. And how do we feel about asking for autographs from your peers? Some audio.
Will you sign something for me?
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's a little weird.
That's coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Mac and cheese. All right, we're in the middle of some fun with sports audio. You know Max Scherzer.
He of two different colored eyes.
Yeah. He now plays for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. He played for the Mets once and then no.
I don't know how he's doing.
I don't know.
I think he had an injury stint this season. I'm not sure he's been pitching a lot.
He has an injury stint every season at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's got.
He has pitched in anymore. Six games.
Six, okay.
And he has a 5.14 ERA, and he has 1-0.
So not good.
Not great.
Okay.
Hey, he's undefeated.
Is
How about
he 40
that?
Yet?
Max Scherzer is indeed 40 years of age, and so, he's making $44 million.
Oh, my God. No wonder he's pitching.
Yeah.
So Eric Lauer is a pitcher for the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. He's a lefty. And he showed up with a kind of a busted-up lip.
Mm-hmm.
To his press conference the other day, or meeting with the media?
Yeah, it was after he started. He was the starter, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, and I want to play for you what he said about that, because they asked him about that.
Okay.
So this is Eric Lauer of the Blue Jays.
So there's kind of this, like, known thing to not mess with Scherzer on the start days. Especially when it has his headphones in, and I broke that rule. I tried to talk to him a little too early, so, you know, he wasn't very happy about that. And, you know, six pitches is what you get for that.
Oh, yeah, dude, I see it. That can't be real, right?
I don't think it
is. We think they're doing bits.
I think he's doing
bits. Is this like when I get a black guy and I blame it on him? I'm like, I don't know why I got it, like, BDJ?
I'm guessing something weird happened, or they're, you know, doing what baseball players do.
Yeah.
And Scherzer said, you know, it'd be funny. Tell him you're not supposed to talk to me on game days, and I busted your lip up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, there's no way he... Come on. That's a thing?
That can't be. There's just no way. That's not okay. For talking to someone? I don't know. Is Scherzer that much of a psycho? I don't know. I didn't know. I know Scherzer was intense. I didn't know that it was that.
No, I think they're doing bits.
I would assume so.
Dave Aranda, head coach of Baylor.
Although I kind of like the idea that he's not doing a bit, and if you do talk to him, he gives you a little 1-2 combo, right? Gives you a 2-3-2, yeah, dude, finishes with the hook.
That's intense. Like, I would think MLB would...
Yeah,
they will investigate this, and then they'll probably make them clarify that that's not what happened, or Scherzer's going to get suspended for punching his teammate.
Well, most of the time you punch someone, whether that's, you know, Jordan punching Kerr, Jordan Poole getting punched, like, those things tend to get out, and they tend to be a bigger deal. Yeah.
But volunteering them?
Yeah. it's got to be bits.
So Dave Aranda is the coach at Baylor, and...
Yeah.
At one time, he was a very hot name in coaching.
Absolutely.
He's not so much anymore.
No.
Because...
he was on a lot of people's shortlist for the Oregon job before Landon got it.
I liked him.
It doesn't take long for you to go from, like, the hottest coach in football to nothing. So, yeah, he got to Baylor and went 2-7, and then he went 12-2, and everyone was like, oh, look out. Now he's 6-7, 3-9, and 8-5. He's one bad season away from see ya.
Well, it turns out he's kind of a weirdo.
Is he a super Christian guy?
That I don't know. Hmm. But I want you to listen to his answer.
Okay.
I don't even know what the hell they were asking.
We don't know what the question was. I don't know what it could have been, but this is something.
There's a scene in The Wolf of Wall Street when they're talking about throwing midgets in, and it's like, you know, hey, this midget, can he roll there? And you go, no, he doesn't roll. You throw him. You know what I mean? And they're made for throwing. And then after a while, they start talking, and they go, well, you know what? I think if you start talking, they may think they know we're making fun of them. The midgets may think. We're making fun of them, so then I'm going to start, you know, they may get mad at us. And then the guys go, well, what we need to do is make them think they're one of us. And they go, one of us, one of us. And I think that's the thing with coaching, call it recruiting, is it's that way. They talk about acquiring players, getting rid of players, just like that. And the whole thing underneath all that is they make them think they're one of us. You know what I mean? And it's like, but you, I don't know. Do you have to do that to win? You know, that sucks. Yeah.
What the hell is he talking about?
What?
Can you unpack that?
Huh. First off, I don't think you're supposed to say midgets, but, you know.
Did no, you're not.
I think it's little people, Dave.
Very insensitive, Dave.
So, he's saying that
what do you got?
Boy.
I think I know where he was trying to go.
So you're saying anytime you're recruiting people, you have to make the recruits feel like they're part of your team, even though they're not part of your team?
I think he was saying that that's the... Okay, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction right now that Dave Aranda is not coaching that much longer, because I think that is a guy who hates this new recruiting NIL game.
Yeah.
I think what he's saying is, yes, we're supposed to go out there and make them feel like they're one of us. The reality is they're not, because they're getting offers from all over the place, and they're just going to take the best deal.
Yeah.
And he hates that, which is exactly why he will not be the coach at Baylor for much longer.
I just don't think when you're talking about recruiting and getting kids coming to your program, you should use the midget scene from Wolf of Wall Street. Have you seen that movie, Dave? Are you aware of what they're doing in that scene? Like, what?
And is that the best way you can try to come up with an example of making someone feel included?
Hey, and look, you're talking to a guy that there's nothing I love more than analogies and like roping pop culture and movie references into things. That's a stretch even for me. And I'm like, whoa, Dave.
Not a good analogy.
No, that's not good. I will say of the scenes, in Wolf of Wall Street, that may be one of the more tame.
There weren't any Quaaludes.
Yeah, I guess there's worse ones. Hey, remember when he took all those Quaaludes and tried to drive his Lamborghini home? That's like recruiting. Remember when they were having drug-filled hooker parties on the company's dime? That's basically what recruiting is. So maybe in that context, the midget scene, little people, his
Come
words,
on,
not
man.
Mine. Maybe the little people scene, maybe that's the only movie he's seen, and that like that's the one it's the one scene that's clean enough to reference.
So weird.
Yes.
God, some of these guys are they're just bizarre. They're spectrum-y. Like it's like, what is he talking?
Well, and it's weird because I mean he was a defensive coordinator, and that may be a guy that's just made to be a defensive coordinator, because then you can just sit in your room and be weird and just come up with defensive schemes. But when you're the head coach, you actually have to be able to relate to people and talk to boosters and talk to kids. And I'm not certain that Dave is cut out for that.
Dave.
Dave. Yeah, for a while, though, he was like the number one DC in the country. He was a big deal at Wisconsin. The LSU hired him. And I'll tell you what, after that 12-2 season at Baylor, I'm sure people were like, oh, Baylor back on top. And no.
Well, it's like Scott Frost, you know.
Yeah.
You go from 2 wins to 12 wins. That's pretty significant.
Yes.
Matt Rhule does that too.
Yeah.
And Scott Frost went from, I think, 0 to 6 to 12.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Something like that.
And then claimed a national championship.
Yeah.
And Matt Rhule has done some quick turnarounds. I know he did at Temple. And where was he? He was at Baylor.
He was at Baylor.
He did that at Baylor too.
Yeah. He's the one that stabilized the Baylor program, if I'm not mistaken, after the, what have you, why can't I think of
Art
his
Briles.
Name? Art Briles and all that. Yeah. But.
Yeah. So he went 2-10 at Temple and then 6-6 and then 2-10 win seasons.
Yeah.
This is Matt Rhule I'm talking about. Then he went 1-11 at Baylor, followed by 7-6, 11-3.
Yeah.
Now he has not done the same thing at Nebraska.
He has not. And this is like.
But isn't it interesting? My point was, isn't it interesting that Aranda did that at Baylor? Scott Frost did that at Central Florida. You don't see that too often, but the guys who have done the quick turnaround guys, they've really kind of fizzled. They haven't, or they've moved on.
Well, because I think the idea, Mel Tucker did this at Michigan State. We'll see what happens at Florida State, because Mike Norvell did this for 1 year at Florida State. It's again, here I'll use a non-Wolf of Wall Street analogy. Writing a hit song is not easy to do, but a lot of people write a hit song, right? It happens. But how many people end up being U2 and how many end up people being Right Said Fred? It's a hell of a lot harder to write an album and then the second album and the third album. So especially in today's world of transfer portals, you get a good quarterback, you go and you grab a bunch of kids and you have an easy schedule. And next thing you know, you know, you put together a real good year. You know, who's about to find this out is Indiana. You know, we'll find out. Indiana last year didn't beat anyone particularly good, but Indiana ended up making the college football playoff, got kind of embarrassed a little bit, and they did that with a bunch of transfer from James Madison. And now we go into year two, and most of the your big players, your transfer kids are gone. You have a brand new quarterback, and you got the coach back there who's doing the, you know, Google me, you know, sort of stuff. And we're about to find out if Indiana's any good. And I'm not saying that you know, it doesn't take skill to have 1 year, but there are a lot of guys that are meteors that burn out real, real fast versus the ones that can actually sustain.
This texter's right, though. At least Dave Aranda didn't say he would punch you if you didn't attend Baylor.
That actually ended up being one of the best female coaches of all time.
Yeah, Kim Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey.
She said that.
Kim Mulkey said that if you didn't send your daughter to Baylor because of the rapes, that she would punch you in the face.
Girl, you something else.
That may be the most ignorant comment. They had, 56, I believe? Some 50-something plus sexual assaults supposedly committed by athletes. And Kim Mulkey had the huevos, bigger balls than Art Briles, to stand up there and be like, you don't want to send your kid here? I'll punch you right in the face. You want to talk about tone deaf?
All right, our last bit of audio involves the rookie sensation for the Blazers.
I
always forget it. Young Han Sen.
There it is.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
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 The big tariff.
Yeah, exactly.
The big tariff.
The big tariff, which is the best nickname to come along in years.
So I've got some audio. How do we feel about autographs from peers? Young Han Sen Son. What? Edition.
He's not Korean.
That's next on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.